Congratulations, you. You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast. Yes, you are.
You're tuned in to the R1 News, your stop for news and current affairs on the airwaves. 11 to 12 weekdays here on Radio 191 FM. Te reo irirangi kotahi.
Tēnā koutou I tēnei ata. Kei te whakarongo mai koe ki te reo irirangi kotahi. Ko Zek Toku Ingoa, and you're listening to the R1 News Show for Rāmere, Te Tekau o Pipiri on Radio 1, Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. No nāianei in the program, we have economist Murat Ungor from the University of Otago Department of Economics coming on to discuss trade agreements and Aotearoa's mission to diversify its trading partners in our weekly segment Business as Usual. Following that, we have Dunedin City Council Grants Subcommittee Advisor and Events Coordinator Alison Wallace joining us to discuss the Council's latest run of community grants. After the talk with Wallace, we have a slick and tidy astrology report targeted at all the Aquarians and Pisces out there. Lastly but not leastly, Otago Farmers Market Manager Michelle Driscoll will be pulling up and chatting to us about what's going on at the Farmers Market in our weekly off-to-market segment. Coming up first, we have Adelaide Dunn with news and weather. However, before that, we've got to get through a tune. Here's Lambert, Hendrix and Ross with Moanin'. You're listening to the radio to... sorry. You're listening to the R1 News on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Buritia kia raka.
Every morning find me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
Cause of all the trouble I see.
Yes, Lord.
Life's a losing gamble to me.
Yes, Lord.
Cares and woes have got me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
Every evening find me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
I'm alone and crying the blues.
Yes, Lord.
I'm so tired of paying these dues.
Yes, Lord.
Everybody knows I'm moaning.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I spent plenty of days and nights alone with my grief, alone with my grief. Lord, I pray, really and truly pray, somebody will come and make me relief.
Every morning find me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
Cause of all the trouble I see.
Yes, Lord.
Life's a losing gamble to me.
Yes, Lord.
Cares and woes have got me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
Every evening find me moaning.
Yes, Lord.
I'm alone and crying the blues.
Yes, Lord.
I'm so tired of paying these dues.
Yes, Lord.
Everybody knows I'm moaning.
Yes, Lord.
I try, really and truly try, to find some relief, find some relief. Lord, I spent plenty of days and nights along with my grief.
Kia ora, welcome back to the R1 News for Rāmere, Te Tekau o Pipiri. That was Lambert, Hendrix and Ross with Moanin'. Coming up now, we have Adelaide Dunn with some news and weather updates.
The R1 News headlines.
Tēnā koutou, ko Adelaide aho. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern will meet with new Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese today. Ardern is in Sydney for one day, following her trade tour of the United States for her first formal meeting with her Australian counterpart. She is set to discuss New Zealanders' rights in Australia, China's activities in the Pacific, and the controversial 501 deportation program. Australia's hardline deportation policy, which sees New Zealand-born Australian residents deported on criminal or character grounds, is the cause of widespread controversy and the tension between the two nations, as many deportees immigrated from New Zealand to Australia as children and have no connections here. Some have blamed the scheme for a rise in organised crime in New Zealand. Albanese's Labour government is set to make some changes to the policy, but not to the extent the New Zealand government has indicated it wants. Business liquidations in Otago and Southland have increased by nearly three quarters over the last year. According to the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, there have been 65 liquidations in the last year, compared to 37 in the previous year. COVID-19 pressures and supply chain issues are being blamed for the increase in businesses going under. Construction companies are under particular pressure as key materials such as jib and timber are increasingly hard to source. Similarly, tourism and hospitality businesses are under strain. Remains of the largest land-based dinosaur ever found in Europe have been discovered on the Isle of Wight. Measuring more than 10 metres long, the Spinosaurid dinosaur remains were discovered by researchers at the University of Southampton. Researchers say pieces of this dinosaur have been found over the last few years and that it will have weighed several tonnes. And those were the headlines on R1 News. Nā, kei te pēhia te atua o te rangi. How's the weather?
The R1 News weather.
E tēnei rā, Otipoti can expect clear skies in the morning, but showers from late afternoon, with a high of te kaumātahi, 11. Apopo, expect showers to clear by midday, with westerlies turning northerly later. A strong wind watch is in place from 7pm tonight until 2am tomorrow. For more information, go to Met Service.
That was the R1 News headlines. Catch up at r1.co.nz/news or find us at Radio 1 91 FM on Twitter or R1 News NZ on Instagram and tune in to R1 News at 11am on weekdays.
Kia ora Adelaide for those fantastic news and weather updates. It is currently 11.10 on the R1 News show for Ramere Te Pipiri, Te Tiko or Pipiri. Coming up on the show we have economist Murat Ungur coming through for our business as usual segment. We'll be speaking to him about trade agreements and New Zealand's role in multilateralism. Up first though we have Whirimako Black with Mariko. Stay tuned.
Manawa pa.
Kia ora and welcome back to the R1 News for Ramere, Te Tikau o Pipiri. That was Mariko by Therimako Black. It is currently 11:15, but it's also business time. Now, we are joined by Murat Ungor from the University of Otago's Department of Economics for this week's instalment of Business as Usual on R1 News. Today, we will be discussing trade agreements and economic cooperation attempts of Aotearoa during COVID-19. Following the Prime Minister's visit to the United States. Now, how did Aotearoa embrace the ideas of multilateralism as a means of economic recovery, Murat?
Hi, Zeke. First of all, it's an important question. Mm-hmm. New Zealand is an open economy with significant trade and financial links with other countries. And multilateralism has been an essential component of New Zealand's international trade policy. And to combat the economic effects of the pandemic, New Zealand has embraced multilateralism as a means of economic recovery, as you say. Mm-hmm. And to do that, there have been several diversification of trade partners, signing of new trade agreements, and strengthening existing agreements. Let me just give you a couple of examples. The first one, New Zealand, Chile, and Singapore signed digital economy partnership agreement in June 2020. And then New Zealand and the United Kingdom launched negotiations for the free trade agreement, again in June 2020. Mm-hmm. And then we had an agreement in October 2021, and in late February we had signing. Another important one is that we had the Regional Comprehensive and Economic Partnership. So this is called RCEP in abbreviation. So New Zealand, along with 14 major countries, signed this agreement, and this is one of the largest global free trade agreements. And we also had the China agreement, which originally was signed in 2008, and there is a right now upgrade of this existing free trade agreement. And lastly, probably all of us will remember, we had the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, and New Zealand hosted those meetings. Unfortunately, it was fully digital because of the COVID situation. But again, it was a good job for New Zealand hosting this APEC meeting. So basically, New Zealand has been very active signing new trade agreements and strengthening the already existing agreements. And these are all good signs forward for the New Zealand economy.
That's great to hear. Now, you mentioned before that Chile, Aotearoa and Singapore signed the Digital Economy Partnership Agreement in a virtual ceremony on June 12, 2020. Now, there are other countries signing such digital trade agreements. What is a digital trade agreement and why do countries sign them?
Sure. So this is actually going to be a very important and very hot topic for the next decades. And in sum, I can easily say that digital trade agreements are necessary to address the challenges and opportunities of the data-driven economy. So we live in the age of data and information, and it sounds like a cliche, but it's also true. So this is the age of the digital economy. And one of the aspects of the digital economy is digital trade. So cross-border flows of digital technologies, services, necessitate policy coordination among countries. And think about data privacy, think about consumer protection. So these are all important aspects of digital economy. So accordingly, what I mean by a digital trade agreement can be summarized as follows. It's a treaty, it's an agreement that establishes digital trade rules and digital economy collaborations between two or more economies. As you said, Chile, New Zealand, and Singapore signed this economic partnership agreement. And this agreement basically gives us the rules and procedures to engage in a digital economy and digital trade. And if you look at the Regional Comprehensive and Economic Partnership Agreement, if you look at Chapter 12 of this agreement, it's about the digital agreements. And if you look at the very recent New Zealand-United Kingdom Free Trade Agreement, there's Chapter 15. And that Chapter 15 is strictly about the digital trade between New Zealand and the United Kingdom. Digital trade is very important and has potential to lower trade barriers, to facilitate market access, and create new trade opportunities. This is particularly important for a small open economy such as New Zealand, because if you look at New Zealand, more than 95% of all New Zealand businesses are classified as small or medium enterprises, SMEs. So these SMEs can explore business opportunities via development or adoption of new technologies. And another important aspect is that digital trade is inclusive. All people and businesses can participate in and contribute towards and benefit from its opportunities. This is particularly important for disadvantaged groups and their involvement in economic activities. Think about Maori and Pacific entrepreneurs. They can actually generate overall benefits for sustainable economic development. And recently, for example, there was a meeting between India and Australia, and the trade minister of Australia gave us some figures regarding the future. And if I remember correctly, so they are predicting that digital trade is predicted to grow to like very close to $200 billion by 2030. So there is a huge potential for businesses and for consumers to explore these opportunities. So that's why it is important to explore regional digital trade initiatives and economic collaborations with other countries in the Indo-Pacific region. So basically, I can say that data, knowledge, innovation, they are very important strategic assets for the future of New Zealand. So we have to understand this, and accordingly, digital trade will be recognized as an important way for economic prosperity for New Zealand.
Now, one thing I'd like to touch on here is that Aotearoa is quite reliant on China for trade, as we export over $20 billion worth of goods there annually, goods and services annually, and China is our largest trading partner. How can New Zealand diversify trade partners so we aren't dependent on the Asian superpower? Could we use digital trade to reduce our dependence, you reckon?
So digital trade agreements is one of the things. First of all, yes, as you say, China has become the single most important dominant trade partner, both in terms of exports and in terms of imports for New Zealand. So basically, China, United States, and Australia, they are the three biggest, largest trade partners for New Zealand. So we have to diversify our trade partners, and we also have to diversify the goods that we export. So in terms of trade partners, yes, China was an emerging giant in the beginning of 1980s, 1990s. And New Zealand was one of the first countries to commence free trade agreements with China. And the New Zealand-China Trade Agreement in 2008 was the first free trade agreement signed by an OECD country with China. So therefore, New Zealand and China has historical good relations in terms of trade partnership. But right now, Chinese economy has reached a maturity, and we have new emerging giants in Asia. So we have to develop good relations with very high-growing countries. Two of them are very important, and I would like to give their names. One of them is Bangladesh, and the other one is Vietnam. So if you look at several international reports, Vietnam and Bangladesh have good potential in terms of economic growth rates. They have been showing very high growth rates. Vietnam also showed positive growth rate in 2020 in the heydays of COVID. So New Zealand entrepreneurs and policymakers should act very quickly to develop and strengthen relations with their counterparts in Bangladesh and Vietnam. So basically, New Zealand can sign new trade agreements or can strengthen the existing trade agreements with new emerging, highly growing countries. So this is the trade partner side. Another important thing is that we cannot just rely on dairy products or tourism as our exports. We have to find a way to start exporting high technology intensive goods. I can give you some international comparisons to understand the position of New Zealand in those aspects. So I have some numbers from like 2019. And according to, so this is the World Bank data. And according to the World Bank data, high technology industries accounted for around 10% of all manufacturing exports from New Zealand in like 2019, just before the COVID. But the corresponding figure was like 17% in Japan, 19% in the US, 31% in China, and like more than 32% in South Korea. So basically, we are not doing a good job in terms of exporting high-tech industry. When you think about South Korea, you will remember, oh, okay, there is Samsung, there is Hyundai. So they have internationally well-known brands. So when people talk about New Zealand, okay, we have rugby, we have cricket, we have a very nice country, we have tourism, dairy products. But how about internationally well-known, high-tech intensive products? So if we can enrich our export bundles, including such high-tech industries, then it will affect or it will contribute to economic growth of New Zealand in a very significant way. And it will also help us, because when you experience high growth rates, then you can actually have power to combat with the short-term economic problems, inflation or housing problems. So basically, high economic growth, high productivity can bring solutions to our structural problems. So that's why enriching or adding new export goods to our export baskets based on high-tech, R&D-intensive goods or sectors, then we can do a better job.
So diversifying our trade partners and diversifying our economy is a win-win, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is a one-line summary.
Awesome. All right, thanks so much for coming on to talk about these topics, Murat.
Thank you, Zach. Have a good weekend.
You too, man. All right, that was Murat Ungo from the University of Otago's Department of Economics, speaking on trade agreements and diversifying our economy, facing these new challenges in exporting technology. Up next on the program, we have an interview with the Dunedin City Council's Grant Subcommittee advisor, Alison Wallace, to talk about the latest round of grant funding for all sorts of different community groups. But up first, we have Money Song from Monty Python. It is currently 11:27 on the R1 News Show. Keep it based.
I've got £90,000 in my pyjamas. I've got 40,000 French francs in my fridge. I've got lots of lovely lira now the Deutsche Mark's getting dearer, and my dollar bills would buy the Brooklyn Bridge. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money. There is nothing quite as beautiful as cash. Some people say it's folly, but I'd rather have the lolly. With money you can make a splash. Quite as wonderful as money.
Money, money, money.
There is nothing like a newly minted pound.
Money, 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 money.
Everyone everyone must hanker for the butchness of a banker. It's accountancy that makes the world go round. You can keep your Marxist ways, but it's only just a phase. For it's money, money, money makes the world go round.
This is the R1 News on Radio 1 91 FM. Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi.
Kia ora and welcome back to the R1 News Show here on Radio 1 Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. It's currently 11:32. We just heard Mogwai with George Square Thatcher Death Party. Before on the program we had Murat Ungo from the University of Otago Department of Economics coming on to talk about trade agreements. And now we're going to be talking about grant funding and the Dunedin City Council. So yesterday, the Dunedin City Council unveiled the latest recipients of the Council's Community Grant Scheme. These grants are farmed out through the Council's Grant Subcommittee, and they have a great deal of scope, with grants ranging from biodiversity to arts and reconstruction. To talk about this further, we have Dunedin City Council Grants Subcommittee Advisor and Events Coordinator Alison Wallace. Alison, how are you going?
Morning. Good, thanks.
Good, thanks. Nice. Good to hear on this very chilly morning.
Very chilly.
Exceptionally icy and slippery out there. Oh, my gosh. Now, there are so many groups, organizations, and individuals receiving funding, whether that be the Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust, the Dunedin Fringe Arts Trust, the Salvation Army, Badminton New Zealand. The list just goes on. What are a few of the grants that you're particularly excited about?
Yeah, so we have such a range of groups that we give grants to every year. In particular, some exciting events that are coming up, which we've given money to this round. One new event happening down in Port Chalmers is the Foundry Festival. So that's a day-long event over four venues in Port Chalmers with different artists, community, and that's all about engaging the community down there and bringing in that arts and culture scene to Port Chalmers. So that's one particular one that we're really keen to see happen in October. And another one that we're excited about is the Dunedin Pride Youth Ball, which is happening over at the Otago Museum in a couple of months. So we're really keen to support lots of different organisations and groups to hold events across the city.
Oh, very lovely. Now, the grants budget seems to fluctuate between every council meeting. This latest funding of around, 215,000 is a reduction of over 500k from the last round of grants in November. Why does the grant funding vary so massively?
Yeah, so we have different rounds all throughout the year. The particular round in November that you mentioned was for larger community funding called our place-based groups, and that's generally 2 to 3 year funding cycles. So those groups get a lot of money to do great work out in the community, such as up at the North East Valley Project and in South Dunedin and places like that. In March and September, which is this round, we have community-based events and groups that we fund. So there's just different levels of funding throughout the year that are available.
Okay, cool. How many applicants does the subcommittee get, like, on average?
Lots.
I imagine.
Yeah, and it depends on what applications are open at the time. So for our March round of events, we got between 20 and 30 applications. We saw some new applications come in, and we also saw some that had changed their dates because of COVID last year as well. So, yeah, it's hard to know how many we're going to get in each round. And, yeah, it's COVID's thrown a spanner in the works as such for the events industry. So we're really happy to be able to support them and starting up again this year.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, how does the committee decide on who to give grants to?
So we've got a set criteria, which is available on the Dunedin City Council website, and our strategic framework. So all of our grant applications are looked at on the basis of how they fit the criteria, mm-hmm. and assessed against that. We talk with the applicants and assist them in putting together the application so that it meets all of the criteria as best it can.
Cool. How does the subcommittee ensure that the groups they're receiving, who are actually getting the funding, how do they ensure that these groups are actually using the funds for their intended purposes? Are they like check-ins per se?
Absolutely. Yep. Cool. So we're in touch with all of our grant applicants throughout the year and help them also in delivering their event if they need assistance. Once they've delivered the event, then we go through a report back process. So they have to submit a report on their event along with the financials to support what they spent the money on and things like that.
Cool. Very good transparency.
Yes.
Yeah, no,
definitely.
We'd love to see that. Love to see that. Now, the next round of grants are coming up in September. Can you give us some tips on how to apply and what that process looks like on your end of things?
Absolutely. So in September, we have a community event grant round that is open until the final Friday of the month. And in August, we will run an information session. So we encourage anyone who's looking to apply to come and chat with us at the information night. That information will be out on social media and our website prior to the event. So it's really important to chat with us first before submitting an application, and we can answer any questions, work through that criteria, make sure that the event fits the criteria. once the application's submitted through our website, then our events team advisors, we review the application and assess it, and then that goes to the subcommittee about a month later, and they do the final approval and sign off and decide how much money everybody gets.
Cool.
So this round we were really lucky that we did have some extra funding for events, particularly after COVID, so hopefully next time we will have some as well.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming onto the show and talking about this topic.
No worries. Thanks for the invite.
Take care. All right, that was Alison Wallace from the Dunedin City Council, events coordinator and advisor on the grant subcommittee. Up next on the show, we have the astrology report coming up very shortly. It's 11:39 here on the program. Up first, we have Evidence by Faith No More. Keep it locked.
Thank you.
Kia ora and welcome back to the R1 News here on Ramere Te Te Kau o Pipiri. It is currently 11:44. Before on the show, we just we heard from Alison Wallace, a Dunedin City Council Grants Subcommittee advisor, on the we talked to them about the latest round of grants funding for all sorts of different groups, ranging from biodiversity to construction to community events. Up now on the show, though, we have something different. We have the astrology report.
The Radio 1 Astrology Report.
Aloha, assalamu alaikum, haere mai, and welcome to the Astrology Report on the Ramere, on the R1 News Show here on Radio 1, Te Reo Irangi Kotahi. Now, if hills are cosmological predictions for Aquarians and Pisces, then call me Kate Bush, because I'll be running up them for the next 2 minutes, baby. Dear Aquarius, you may feel like the universe itself is speaking directly to you on this bitter Otipoti morning. The hashtag liberated Libra moon will illuminate the spiritual sector of your astrological chart while forming a saccharine sweet connection to sleigh boss Saturn. This cosmic climate will help you break down all those pesky barriers separating you from the ethereal realms, Aquarius. Especially if you can lodge a cheeky meditation session before starting the day. If you're looking for peaceful areas around campus to meditate, try sneaking into Unicol and getting roof access. Just kidding, don't do that. Or for those who aren't as bold as you, you could surely find a spot in Locals. Just don't mind the smell. While toxic Mercury and submissive Pluto share a supportive aspect in the sky, you'll feel a certain playfulness suddenly come out. You ought to kick off the weekend right, Aquarius, and give yourself permission to play in these creative realms to help unlock the potential of this cosmic climate. Just be sure not to accelerate cosmic climate change. No one wants that. Now on to you hydrated Pisces. Don't feel guilty about sleeping in with your hashtag boo today, dear Pisces. As the trashy Virgo moon forms a grand trine in the sky, you feel inspired to whisper sweet nothings into your significant other's ear as the universe pushes you to embrace love. Bloody good timing, Pisces, because you were looking into some really concerning internet forums before finding your darling. These good vibes are set to flow all day long as alluring Luna makes their way into harmonious Libra. This placement will empower your romantic connections over the next two-ish days, making it a great time to let your guard down. On the other hand, if you're a single Pisces, pour one out. That was the Astrology Report here on the R1 News Show. Coming up on the program, we have Michelle Driscoll, the Otago Farmers Market Manager, joining us for our off-to-market segment where we find out what's good at the farmers market. Before that, though, we've got to get through some songs, or at least one song. So up next, we've got Flying Lotus with Zodiac. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the R1 News Show here on Radio 1 Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. It is currently 11:50 and we just heard from Flying Lotus with Zodiac. Earlier on the show we just heard the astrology report. We covered what's going on with Aquarius and Pisces. And now it's time for Off to Market with Otago Farmers, Otago Farmers Market Manager Michelle Driscoll. Oh, how you going, Michelle?
Kia ora. Yep, I'm good, thank you.
You going to get on this very cold morning?
Yeah, it is chilly, and it's looking chilly again tomorrow, so...
Oh, gosh.
Seems to just... Wrap up warm, it makes us tougher anyway, doesn't it?
True, it does. It makes the... How is the cold kind of affecting some of the harvest? Is it...
At the moment, at this time of the year, it's good, because obviously a good frost is going to sweeten some things up, and hopefully anything delicate has already sort of finished its season, so, you know, Mother Nature seems to have worked it out quite nicely.
Yeah,
just got it sorted.
Yeah, got it down pat, down on lock. Now, what's some of the stuff that's happening at the farmer's market this weekend? I hear that there's some new potatoes.
Yeah, there's lots of potatoes. It's a really good range. You know, there's obviously Agria, which we all know Agria is a flowery potato. But, you know, there's Red Fantasy, which has got the red skin and the yellow flesh, and it's a really great flavour and a great all-rounder. There's the Highlander, which is a smooth, waxy one, which is good for boiling and, you know, good for salads and just a standard boiled potato. There's Mustang, which is like Agria, which is flowery and it's good for roasting and baking. And then there's like the cool little purple passion ones, or the Desiree, or the Lily Rose. That's got the purple skin as well, and it's got the purple flesh, and it's a bit flowery, and it's good for mashing and fries and for boiling. And then there's Moonlight, and then there's probably a few I haven't even mentioned. It's just a really good economical way to, you know, it's a good value meal, really. Because, I mean, I've seen them for like $2 a kg. It's between $5 to $6 for 2 kg bags, which, for a good local, freshly dug potato, that's a good price. And some of those are actually organic as well. And some have been spray-free, depending on where you go in the market.
The supermarket prices, eh?
They're good. I mean, then, you know, you can try them on a potato or a gratin or, you know, make hash browns. There's so many things you can do with potatoes, and they're so full of nutrients and vitamin C, and, you know, they're a good... And just a good warming food. Like, at the moment, we kind of need food to fuel us, just to keep us warm, really, don't we?
Yeah, I've noticed that. I've been getting more hungry as the day goes on now in winter. A fantastic thing would be like a leek and potato soup. That always goes very, very hard.
Yeah, and leeks, you know, there's plenty of leeks at the moment, and they're nice and big, you know, big, chunky ones. So, you know, they're a good... They go a long way in a meal as well.
They do.
Yeah,
I chucked a leek in my curry last night and it went pretty hard.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good. And, you know, with us being an authentic farmer's market, you know, you're buying from the local farmers, so you're buying directly usually from the farmers, and it's freshly picked. And everything seems to last a lot longer, you know. So it ends up being good value. Obviously, you don't want things to be sitting around for too long, but... you know, if you don't get to eat them that week, they're still quite fresh, whereas often if you buy them other places, then often will only last that, you know, a few days, really, before it gets a bit limp.
Yeah, gets a bit
so it's good.
Past its prime, eh?
And obviously what we're not selling is watermelon. You know, there's crazy $100 watermelon or anything like that, because, yeah, obviously that thing with us buying just local product, and just in season, you know, we're all about that's our number one message, really. Shopping seasonally, it's kind of a no-brainer. And that's just, you can really celebrate what you're eating.
Yeah.
Good.
Now, speaking of watermelon, what kind of fruit is at the farmer's market this week?
There's fruit, apples. you know, apple a day. You know, I have an apple a day. I mean,
who doesn't?
I can't, I haven't been sick since pre-COVID, and I haven't even had to take a rat test or anything. I'm not putting it down to just eating apples, but, you know, all the vegetables and coloured stuff can all help, you know, just build up a good immunity to some of the stuff, you know, the winter ills going around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, heaps of different varieties of apples and pears. You know, they're always good. You know, you can always put those into a crumble or, you know, poach them or eat them fresh. But the apples at the moment, fresh, are just delicious.
Out of this world.
What's that?
I said out of this world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, just, I mean, I think tomorrow, just dress up, dress warm. It's going to be between 4 to 7 degrees. But, yeah, it'll be, I think it's, hopefully there'll be some sunshine. And, yeah.
Yeah, good coffee to warm the people up as well.
Yeah, there's hot chocolates and there's hot chai and there's always hot things to eat for brunch. So yeah, it's good. And just a reminder to people to bring their produce bags and bring their jars and return or their bottle returns or their keep cups. Mm-hmm. It's all that stuff, you know, reuse. We've got over 50 vendors that will accept a lot of their packaging back. So this weekend there'll be a little sign out on each vendor that says if they accept or ask them what they accept back of their packaging. And I mean, some don't have packaging at all, which is fantastic, which is kind of the way we hope they're heading. But it's just a matter of everyone remembering to bring their bags and, you know, vessels to take everything away.
Yeah, I mean, waste minimization is such an important thing these days, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Seems like a very...
But even things like bread, like I bring my own cloth little bag, like a little produce bag for my bread, and my bread lasts so much longer and keeps so fresh in it, rather than, you know, a paper bag. Well, actually, I used to have a paper bag, and I managed to make it last about 10 returns until it's integrated.
Yeah,
but,
doesn't
you
take
know,
long.
All that stuff helps in the big scheme of things.
Yeah, it sure does. Alrighty, thank you so much for joining us here on the R1 News.
You're welcome.
Take care.
I'll
be sure to see you tomorrow at the farmer's market.
Yep. Oh, good. I'll see you there.
Right. Take care.
See you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Otago Farmers Market Manager Michelle Driscoll talking to us about what's good at the market. It seems like there's a good amount of potatoes and apples. Some good hearty food right there. Part of a good lifestyle, a good potato and a good apple. Now, I think it's just about, may as well just wrap up the show right now. It's getting very close to 12. Oh boy. To kick the show off, we had Adelaide come on the show and read some news and weather headlines. Then we had Business as Usual with economist Murat Ungur from the University of Otago, Department of Economics. Now Murat came on to talk about trade agreements and the importance of diversifying our economy, diversifying our trading partners, and the importance of starting a high-tech industry, essentially, to increase economic growth. Now, after that, we had Alison Wallace, the Dunedin City Council Community Grants Subcommittee Advisor, to talk about the latest round of grants funding, where it's going, how that works, and all that goodness. Then we had the Astrology Report with the Cantankerous Combo, Aquarius and Pisces. And lastly, you just heard it, Off to Market with Michelle Driscoll, talking about all those good potatoes and apples out there. Now, this is the end of the Rāmere R1 News Show for Te Kau o Pipiri 2022. But be sure to listen in on weekdays 11 to 12 here on Radio 1 Te Reo Radio 1 Te Reo Irirangi Kotaki. Take care, people. Have a great weekend. Be sure to go to the farmer's market tomorrow. And yeah, have a great one. Up next, we have Space Bats Attack with Moldy Peaches. Puritia Kia Raka.
thank you for listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast. There's heaps more at r1.co.nz.